Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, November 7th. I'm Ray Graff. Today we welcome back our pal, Holly Shelowitz of NourishingWisdom.com. Holly is here to talk about healthy cooking with foods that'll give us more energy, keep our immune system rocking, reduce cravings for junk food. Today she's going to talk about delicious, healthy one-pot meals. The number to call is 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. If you are desirous of a chance to converse with Holly Shelowitz, 800-348-2551 or voxpop@wamc.org is the email address. It's Holly Shelowitz. It's healthy cooking that tastes pretty darn good, too. And your call's coming up after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's Food Friday, and we welcome back our buddy, Holly Shelowitz, today. Holly is a nutrition counselor, culinary nutrition educator, and holistic health coach. For over 20 years, Holly's been teaching people how to eat healthier, feel better, harness their body's own preventative and healing powers with food, herbs, and lifestyle. Holly regularly teaches community workshops at libraries, farmers markets, and on Zoom. If you have a question for Holly Shelowitz about healthy cooking, boosting your immune system, etc., give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can email the program at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Holly Shelowitz, how the heck are you?
Doing great.
Yeah?
Doing great.
What's been happening in Holly World?
What's been happening? So let's see. I just moved to a new area in the Hudson Valley that I am absolutely loving.
Ooh.
Moved there in July.
Nice.
And been working on a cookbook and a whole bunch of workshops.
Stop. Stop presses. You've been working on a cookbook.
Yes.
This is exciting.
It's a long time coming.
All right. Well, we'll get back to that in a minute. Yeah. What else is going on?
What else is going on? Lots of workshops and classes. It's just been really fun to get back into the swing of hands-on in-person classes as well as on Zoom.
And do you like, now, it's been a few years, right?
Yeah.
And since the pandemic and it's behind us. Do you like the Zoom?
I really do like it.
Here's, you do?
I do. It enables me to connect with clients from all over. And when I do cooking classes on Zoom, that's pretty fun because then everyone is in their kitchens and in the comfort of their own home.
And do you see the kitchens?
Connecting. I can see them.
Do you ever say, boy, that's a ratty kitchen.
No,
clean that up.
I would never do that.
No?
No. And then, you know, it's a nice combination, really, to do the online classes and workshops and then the in-person. It kind of feeds me. Literally. And then also when it's on Zoom, people can join me from all over and not have to be local.
Well, I guess you make a point. All right. Correct me if I'm wrong. We'll start with this point before we talk about your cookbook.
Okay.
To eat healthy and to feel better, you have to eat food that tastes rotten.
What?
Yeah. Is that true?
Absolutely.
That's what I
not.
Thought.
Where did that go? Okay. We're going to start right at the
beginning.
Devil's
advocate.
First of all, wow.
What
a kickoff.
Okay.
Okay. So, no. Healthy, I want your food to taste good, delicious. Why should we eat food that doesn't taste good? No. Such a big part of what I love to teach in my private sessions and then, of course, in the cooking classes. It's about food being delicious. It's about when we're cooking, engaging our senses and tasting, smelling, touching things, using herbs and spices. In fact, I brought you a little something-something.
Oh, I like that.
And I'm using a spice blend that is really unique. And I think that being able to experiment with herbs and spices can change an everyday dish into something really elevated. And so please, no, not eating rotten.
Are you sure?
Rotten food.
Okay.
Now here's,
you didn't take
I don't
the bait.
Know if where you're coming from is
I'm just trying
anything
to, give you a hard
to do
time.
With fermented. Yeah, I'm used to you now though.
Okay,
so
good.
I'm going to just
right,
hand it right back.
All right.
But you know, there is something about the health benefits of fermented foods.
Yeah,
which
I'm not
are,
that keen on that.
Okay, good.
The kimchi and whatnot.
Yes.
Ugh.
They're so, well, do you like pickles?
I do like pickles.
Okay, done. That's a fermented food.
Does Vlasic make kimchi?
No.
Because I like the Vlasic pickles.
Well, okay. So there's a difference in the pickles that we buy on the shelf in the supermarket versus pickles that are refrigerated that do not have vinegar in them.
Mm.
I have a feeling we're going in this direction now. So
we're off track. We're off topic already.
Well, it's our. It's all right. It's all
only
part
2:14.
Of it.
Yeah, what the heck?
But when we're eating fermented foods, like you say, you know, rotting foods, no, it's about making those foods even healthier for us in a different way.
Yeah.
So like a cucumber, right? On its own, crunchy, sweet, yummy. A certain kind of cucumber, when you add some salt and garlic and some other spices along with some water and then clock time. Not the herb time, clock time.
Yeah.
Those cucumbers ferment into pickles, and then there's all of this beneficial bacteria that really nourishes our whole inner ecosystem, our gut. You know, we hear the words gut health, right? And it's like,
all the time.
Is it? Exactly. But like, what does that even mean?
I don't know.
So fermented foods like yogurt and pickles and sauerkraut and kimchi and miso, and many other foods
What's miso again?
Miso is a fermented bean paste. Traditionally, it's made with soybeans, but then now there's all of these other kinds of miso that use different kinds of beans for people who might be sensitive to soybeans.
Okay.
And it's a salty paste that is so rich in probiotics that, you know, like when you eat in a Japanese restaurant, they serve miso soup. So it's essentially, you know, boiled water, and then at the end of cooking you add a little bit of this bean paste that is super salty, but you don't need much, and that adds delicious flavor and probiotics. And so in every culture there are actually fermented foods. So literally in every single culture, if we look back to traditional foods of that culture, there is always something fermented. And guess what? This is right up your alley.
Okay.
Sourdough bread is a fermented food. So that tart, sour flavor is not only is it flavorful, and of course it's become an even bigger thing, but it is a healthier for those that are able to have wheat or gluten.
Right.
That's a really healthier way to go.
We're joined by Holly Shelowitz today, nutrition counselor, culinary nutrition educator, holistic health coach. The number here is 800-348-2551, or you can email the program at voxpop@wamc.org. So a while ago, before I made you sort of go off the highway onto a crazy exit, you mentioned that you're writing a cookbook. Tell me about the cookbook.
Okay. I'm very excited about this. So people have been asking me this for so many years, and I've been wanting to do this.
Okay.
And so it's right now there's going to be a few different, it's like a series. So the first one is going to be one pot meals, one pan meals. So high protein, lots of veggies, really healthy.
Now, to be clear, for those who don't know you or haven't heard you on before, you will occasionally eat meat for protein.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, but, not occasionally. Like, I personally eat animal protein, chicken, fish, meat, yes.
But when you talk high protein in this instance, there's no meat there, right?
Yeah, there can be.
No, in this.
Oh, in today what I made?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Because I wasn't sure, like, what would fly.
Again, I've interrupted your flow. Go ahead. You have 2 minutes, and then we'll take a break.
Okay, good. So, one pot meals. Here's the premise of this, and I was sending a client a whole bunch of recipes the other day, actually from this book, and really every single client and student that I've worked with over these 25 years is somebody says, I don't have time to cook healthy food. And it's like, okay, well, this is my mission, one of my missions, in that we need to eat multiple times a day. And unless you're in a position where you're able to dine out every single day, multiple times a day, it's really important that you know how to prepare simple, healthy food, or you have a personal chef, right? That's another option.
Right.
And so my mission for this cookbook is like 15 minutes of prep. And then it's in the pot or in the pan, and then maybe some stirring, done. And so it can be like a soup or a stew, or it could be something like, let's say there's like chicken and rice and greens. And so we might start with a saute of some onions and garlic and greens, and then we'll add some rice or cauliflower, depending on what someone's eating, and then add the chicken and some spices and some broth, lid on, and
let it
cooks.
Well, okay. For how long, though?
This is what I want for people to know, that you can do this.
Okay.
And what did you say? For how long?
I suppose it depends on what you're cooking. But
yeah, so the recipes are designed so that they're really easy to follow. And so in that example, if I were using cauliflower, all of those ingredients would go in layers and cook together for about 10 to 15 minutes.
Is there cauliflower in this thing you brought?
There is not. You're off the
That's
hook.
A really good yeah. answer. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551 is our number. It's Holly Shelowitz. We've only just begun the interrogation. We'll be back. You know, I learned something here. If you make the odd Arby's reference during the break, Holly Shelowitz is not that fond of the whole thing. So we'll just skip that for now, and we'll go back to healthy eating. 800-348-2551 is the number. Oh, but I do like my Arby's. WAMC is our website. You can stream us live there, and you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. All right, Holly Shelowitz, when is this book going to be done?
It's actually going to be done in the next week and a half.
So, how many recipes do you have to go?
There's a total of 25 recipes.
Yeah.
And I'm just tweaking the last 7.
Cool.
And so,
and do you test these extensively? Do you try them out on willing and unwilling?
Both willing and unwilling. And then I also have some clients that are also testing them.
It's exciting.
It is exciting.
Is this your first cookbook?
It's my second.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there's actually, it's my third, because the very first one was like a spiral bound that I had printed up at Staples 25 years ago.
Uh-huh.
That when I bump into clients from that time, they tell me that they still make some of the foods from that cookbook.
See,
which
that's
really
collector's
touches
item.
My heart.
Yeah.
And then there's another one on the website that's all soups. So there's a soups cookbook. It's an ebook that's on the website. And then this one, you'll be able to buy it either as an ebook or as a hard copy.
All right. You mentioned soup. And then we'll talk about what you made, and then we'll hit the phones. 800-348-2551. You mentioned soup.
Yeah.
In my house, my wife loves to make homemade chicken noodle soup. Okay.
Fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, you hear the folk wisdom that the nutritional value, that, mm-hmm. you know, you see your mom says, oh, you're sick, have some chicken soup. That the nutritional value is in the fat. Is that correct? Is the real magic energy in the chicken fat?
Ooh, good question. I'm going to say there's magic energy in a lot of elements of a chicken soup. First and foremost, vegetarians, hang in there, because I've got something for you as well. So for the chicken soup, I really love teaching people how to make your own bone broth and veggie stock. So like I said, vegetarians, hang in there. So for the folks that are eating chicken and other things, that that I recommend that everybody save your bones. So let's say you roast a chicken, or you buy a rotisserie chicken, or you just save your bones in a Ziploc bag.
In the freezer?
Along with your bits and pieces, the ends of carrots and celery and even onions. Put them all in a Ziploc bag. Yep, in the freezer.
Okay.
And so, you know, when you buy like parsley and cilantro, if you're not a juicer and you're not like juicing them, a lot of people toss the stems, and there is, first of all, so much nutrition, so much flavor in those stems.
Yeah.
And so you want to chop. You can keep them whole. Just put those in the Ziploc bag. And then when you have enough in that Ziploc bag, you pour it all into either your Instant Pot or a regular pot.
Uh-huh.
Add a splash of apple cider vinegar. I love to add some rosemary and sage.
Well, you put apple cider vinegar in your soup.
Well, this is when we're making bone broth. And there's a reason why.
All right, why?
When you add that, just a splash of apple cider vinegar, the acidity in there pulls the minerals and the gelatin and the collagen from the bones, brings it into the broth, and not only will it add so much flavor, but that's really so much nutrition. So collagen, gelatin, really nourishing for our bones. And of course, there are so many women and men that are having issues with their bones later in life.
Yeah.
And so we want to be doing things to support our bones. And then all of those other flavors, the onions, the herbs, and then really simmering that. I use an Instant Pot, so I'll let it go for like 4 hours on high pressure, and then I'll hit it again. If you don't have an Instant Pot, and you certainly don't need to buy one for this, you would just simmer these bones and veggies on your stovetop and make this rich, flavorful stock. Now, to answer your question, when like the medicinal part of chicken soup, that stock has a tremendous amount of nutrition. And then there's protein in the chicken. And then there's something very healing and soothing just about having a beautiful bowl of soup. But chicken soup in particular,
yes.
I can't say the medicinal properties are only in the fat.
It's partially in our heads,
it's
right?
It's part of it. It's part of it. And you can also add some ginger or something spicy in there. I really love to add some medicinal mushrooms in there so that you're really getting...
How medicinal?
A lot. I knew you were going to go there.
Really?
That you were going to get a lot of nutrition in that soup.
It's our guest today, Holly Shelowitz, who is a regular on this program over the years, a nutrition counselor, culinary nutrition educator, holistic health coach. Here's a couple emails, and then you're going to unveil what's in the heart-shaped box
there.
I will. This is from Mandy. Does Holly have any ideas for meals that can be made ahead and frozen? I'd like to stock my parents' freezer with healthy meals that they can just heat up.
That is such a great question, and what a sweet idea. I should do that for my mom, too.
How's your mom doing?
She's great.
Excellent.
She's probably listening.
Hello, Holly's mom.
Okay. So, yes, I love that idea. So there's many ways that you can do it. One way is what I just described about the stock, but that still takes a little bit of work.
Yeah.
After that. Something that is a really cool thing is that you can use either a ball jar. It's actually more convenient to use a Ziploc bag, but I'm really trying to have us all move away from trying to use less plastic. But a Ziploc bag is very convenient. You can also get like these large silicone bags if you should ever want. It's like a food grade.
Really? And why are they better than plastic?
Because it's not plastic. And it's like, anyway.
Okay. Different show. Okay,
yeah.
Fine.
That could be an hour long conversation.
I'm really leading you astray all the time now. All right, go ahead.
All right. So let's say you want to make a lentil soup. Now, are you wanting, Mandy, I guess I'll have to assume the answer because you're on email. Are you wanting to assemble everything and then have them prepare it? Or are you wanting to prepare an entire soup and then just freeze it and
I
have them
the
reheat?
I think the latter. I think that's
one.
What I'm
okay,
getting
good.
From the
email. So then good. We could skip the Ziploc part. So so you could batch cook. Some soups are amazing. I would say the only ingredient that I have found to not freeze well are potatoes. They get really like mealy and really the texture changes. But let's say you could make a lentil soup with lots of veggies and herbs and then freeze that in ball jars. So ball jars are those glass jars, and you always want to leave a good inch and a half of headspace at the top. Ask me how I know.
How do you know?
Because if you fill it up to the top and then you freeze it and then the glass expands and then it breaks.
Yes.
And that's so sad on many levels.
Has that happened to you?
Yes, it has.
I'm so sorry, Holly.
Thank you. It even happened when I thought I had done it for with an inch on top. So that's why now I say an inch and a half.
Okay.
And you want to, you know, freeze in the wide mouth ball jars versus the narrow small mouth jars. I know that those of you who do this know what I'm saying. So when you're purchasing ball jars, there's a wide mouth and then a narrow mouth. So the wide mouth freeze better. And so that's how I would do it. I think soups and stews freeze beautifully, and you can do them even in a quart, either a quart, which is probably four servings.
Right.
Or a pint, or even smaller.
Do you do any canning?
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
And so you have the whole canning kit?
I got the whole shebang. To be honest, I haven't done it in the last couple of years. It's a project, but yeah. I've made strawberry jam, blueberry jam. Those are the two I've made. Oh, I've made an apple chutney. That's a really nice one to do at the end of the season when you've got green tomatoes, and then there's apples and peppers, and that's a really nice.
All right. Dave writes in, and then we'll go to the phones. Okay. 800-348-255. Oh, we didn't break this out yet.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Show me what you got.
Okay. All right. So I always like to make food for Ray.
Yeah.
He's so hilarious.
Really? Is that why
you
make food?
I like to surprise him.
That's why my family makes food for me, too. Dad's hilarious. He hates everything.
So we're in the season of squash, right? Wow. So I have been getting the most beautiful butternut squash. And a lot of people are afraid of butternut squash.
Why? Because I've never heard of anyone who's afraid of butternut squash.
Believe me, there are a lot of people that are afraid
Why?
Of it. Why? Because I'll ask you, have you ever caught a butternut squash?
No.
Exactly. Here's how it goes.
All right.
It's this, you know, long, heavy, hard squash that you need a good solid knife, and it's very unruly. Thankfully, grocery stores also sell it peeled and chopped. It's more expensive that way, but it's a great way to still be able to use butternut squash.
Okay. So it's that tough. Could you use a wood chipper?
No.
No?
No. Good knife, but you want to do it carefully. But the other thing that I love to show people, and I made a video on this, it's either on my Facebook page or on the website, where you could actually roast an entire butternut squash whole.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people just really find it too difficult to cut. So you would just put some, like with a fork, make some holes in the butternut squash.
Yeah.
And lay it on a tray. I like to put a little coconut oil on it and then wrap it with parchment paper. In the oven, 375. It takes a long time. It takes like a good 90 minutes, and it will get totally soft, and then you can slice it open.
It's easy to work with.
You can remove the pits. And so this soup, however.
It smells good.
I'm glad.
Lie. Yeah.
Okay, good. What? So this,
why did you seem surprised that I said that?
Just because you're you. So in this pot, I have that really nice chicken stock that I just talked about, bone broth.
Right.
And then cooked the butternut squash. I'm adding some pecans to the top of this that I roasted pecans with a little butter and a little bit of maple syrup.
Lovely.
And then I'm going to also add a couple of chopped apples in here. But I want to say something else because there's a secret ingredient here. And I'm wondering if I should tell you.
Oh, no, I love to guess.
I know
you
like
to guess. No, it's
fun.
It's one of those, it's like a game show.
exactly. And those of you listening, I want you to also guess. It's more of an unusual.
How are they going to guess?
Well, because you're going to describe it.
Okay. Oh,
we're
really?
We're on the air. You
Using
know, we
my
have
great
to, like,
skills. Yeah. All right. Everybody's out of luck. Okay. That's fine. Well, I see apples and, okay. So.
Did I get the nuts in there?
Yeah, I think you did.
Okay.
Yeah, and I love the way that you say pecan, because that's the way I say it. And sometimes I'm castigated by folks
I
on
know,
the show.
I know. We're clearly not from the South.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to try a little bit here. Now, say something while
I
chew.
I'll talk while you're chewing. So I love adding different textures into soup. So this is this butternut squash soup. I pureed it, so it's very smooth.
Delicious.
Really?
Really good.
Oh, I'm so glad you like it. That sweetness of the soup is au naturel. That is just the natural sweetness.
The apples help too.
The apples help with like a little tartness, a little crunch.
Yeah.
And then
really good. Oh.
The toasted pecans with a little maple and butter. And the spice mix is something called Chinese 5 spice powder.
That was going to be my guess. Why did, you know what?
He's lying, y'all. He's
all right,
lying.
Let's, we have to go to the phones here. Louise in Wurtsboro has been waiting. And
okay.
Louise, you're on.
Hi. Oh, I'm so happy to be on. Thank you. Yeah, my question is, a very close friend of mine has esophageal diverticulitis. Oh. And every time he eats something, he has this terrible cough. Mm. And it's very upsetting. Mm. And I know it's not healthy to have constant irritation in that area of the body. And I'm wondering, Avi, can you recommend like healthy stuff for him to eat?
Hmm. Well,
I mean, everything is healthy that you're talking about, but I guess something that might go down a little smoother.
Yeah. I'm going to make some general guesses, but of course, without knowing more specifically and the things that bother him and all of that thing. But I would say we want foods that are going to be soft, like a pureed soup like this. But of course, we have to know, is it acidic things that activate him? I'm wondering if either of you know about an herb called slippery elm bark. And it's a really healing, it's actually the bark of a tree that you can get in a powdered form. Of course, he has to check with his physician.
Yeah, it's a good
who
plan.
Probably has never heard of that. But it's worth checking
in pill
form
into. Also, they have it.
They do, but it might be better. It tastes really nice, actually.
Okay.
So I would encourage you to research that. And then also like aloe vera gel.
What? It,
that's edible.
You can eat that?
Gel.
And
okay.
Is like a very healing, topical, soothing for the whole digestive tract. And each person's situation is unique, and they always have to check with their physician. Yeah.
Louise, does that help at all?
It does. It does. And here's another question.
Oh, hello. I'm the culprit.
Hello. Welcome. It's a party line. Go ahead.
Yeah. Good to hear you. I love your show.
Thanks.
I love that network. So what it is a pocket in my esophagus, and things get caught in there, and they slide down, and eventually they slide down into my trachea or even lower, and that's what causes me to cough and stuff.
This might be a better one.
Will this help?
Go ahead. But I will say this is probably a better one for Medical Monday when we do digestive health, which, by the way, is coming up soon.
Oh, that's
so
great.
I recommend you give this one a shot. 800-348-2551. That's the number here on Food Friday. Let's go to Rhinebeck. And Jennifer, you're on.
Hi, Ray. I'm delighted to be on. I have a very specific question about bone broth.
Okay.
Oh, good.
And that is, I purchased a bunch of bones from my butcher.
Great.
And I came home and put them in my Instant Pot and did the prescribed method. And I did not get anything gelatinous.
What
and I
kind
wonder
of bones
if
did
I
you
was
buy?
Supposed to roast them.
Wait,
first.
Wait. What did you
they
buy?
They were
beef or chicken?
They were beef bones.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And
so I wondered if I was supposed to roast them first.
Okay. I'm going to just explain to everyone else so that they understand. I know where you're going with this. So an excellent nutritional element of making true bone broth is when it's refrigerated, that it's gelatinous and kind of jiggly, or solid, even better. And the way that happens is that beef bones particularly have a really high amount of gelatin in them. So the roasting is really more for flavor because it then adds like just a little bit more body. sometimes when you end up with liquid, it's still good and it's still great. So you should totally use it in all the ways you were planning on using it. Did you add a splash of apple cider vinegar?
I might have added too much. Is that possible?
I don't know. I mean, because, you know, just all you... I don't know if too much would cause that. But the vinegar, like I was saying earlier, it helps to bring the minerals and the gelatin out of the bones. The other thing is that the bones to water ratio also really makes a difference. So if you did it in your Instant Pot and you got beef bones, and I know those beef bones are quite big, then you can't really fit that much into the Instant Pot. And so it could have just simply been the ratio.
Ah. So try and try again, Jennifer.
Yeah.
I will. Okay. Try again.
Yeah.
Let me know how that goes.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. We got to take a break here. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's Vox Pop. It's Food Friday. Holly Shelowitz is here. Reminder, she's not a doctor, so she'll do the best she can. There's some delicious food here. And Holly, do you want them in the control room to have some? All right, we'll take a break. 800-348-2551. We'll be back. Don't get too hip. There's Hank Mobley on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551. Is the number, and it's Holly Shelowitz Day, nutrition counselor, culinary nutrition educator, holistic health coach, and just a fine person. By the way, what is Asian five spice? What
Chinese
is that?
Five spice powder. It's a really beautiful blend of 1, 2, 5 spices.
Well, that's
okay. Do you want to have a take a smell? So I brought a jar of it for Ray to smell. Don't stick your whole... Just in case, like, what if there was pepper in there? He stuck his whole nose in there, you guys.
It's a very small jar.
Okay, just give it a smell.
It smells like nutmeg and such.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's interesting about this, so this is a combination of cinnamon, fennel, cloves, star anise, and white pepper.
Uh-huh.
And this recipe, I didn't make it. I actually got it in Mother Earth's in the bulk section.
Okay.
And... depending, it's kind of like when you buy curry, depending on who makes it or where you buy it, there can be different ingredients in the combination.
Sure.
And so these spices are put together because it activates each one of our tastes. So there's like sweet, sour, pungent, let's see, sweet, sour, pungent, and I'm forgetting a couple of other things. Oh, and then there's like the white pepper can have a tiny bit of heat, not really. And I find that when you add this, you know how like there's pumpkin pie spice, which we're maybe many of us are familiar with.
Yeah, I'm sick of it already.
This has like a really unique flavor in that there's cinnamon and clove, which is familiar. But then there's fennel and anise, which is kind of moving in the kind of like a slight licorice direction.
Right.
Anyway, I think it's a really... really unique.
It smells
blend.
Lovely, and I'm sorry if I put my whole nose in the jar. I apologize.
Okay.
It's fine. A couple emails here, and then we're going to go to Joan in Schenectady. She's been waiting a while.
Okay.
Dave in Clarence says, oh, you have to settle a bet for Dave.
Uh-oh.
All right.
Okay.
Friend of ours, about 50, average build, said that he's starting to use protein powder in his smoothies daily. He was insistent that adults don't get enough protein, and I disagreed. My view is an average American diet will have more than enough protein. I'm just guessing, 50 grams. Anyway, who's right? I have $10 riding on this, and that's from Dave and Clarence.
Wow. Okay, well, there's a lot of factors here. It depends on what someone is eating all day. So there, I think that there's a lot of people that are not getting enough protein. Because depending on what they're eating, there's a lot of vegetarians and vegans that may not be getting enough protein because just the nature of what's available on their plate, they may be eating more carbohydrates than they realize.
Right.
I'm not saying that vegan and vegetarian isn't healthy. I'm saying it's really important to do it in a healthy way.
Right.
And I would say, you know, a big part of the work that I do is working with women in midlife and their health. And such a big part for us of having healthy bones is to really be increasing our protein intake. And so I don't know. I don't know about this bet, y'all, because it depends on what someone is eating. We can't make a general statement that, yes, everyone's getting enough or they're not getting enough. So I cannot give you my full answer. However, we always want to read the entire label of a protein powder. A lot of times protein powder can be filled with multiple kinds of sugar and fillers and carbohydrates. And so you want to just read, we want to look at the source of the protein. Is it pea protein, which is the common vegetarian protein? You don't necessarily want soy protein, kind of hard to digest. And then there's whey protein for those who aren't vegetarians. So you
got
to get back
this.
To me on like a specific person's diet and if they are eating enough protein.
So the bet's a push, Dave.
The bet's a push.
All right, one more email, and then we go back to our phones with Holly Shelowitz, 800-348-2551. Kathleen in Voorheesville says, I have a chronic illness related to bone marrow issues. I take iron supplements but continue to fatigue quickly. Any food ideas?
Let's see. That's all right. I would want to know more about what you're eating, more about this bone issue. And I hear you about fatigue, and it's I wonder if you're also in pain because of the bone issue, which might inhibit movement and exercise and things. So, feel free to reach out to me.
Okay. And by the way, if people do want to reach out to you, what is your email address?
My website.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Your website.
Yeah.
Right.
Website is nourishingwisdom.com. And you can email me through the website.
Okay, fair
and
enough.
I'm happy to answer some questions.
All right. Now, Joan in Schenectady has been waiting a very, very long time.
Joan.
Joan, hello. You're on.
Hello. And thank you, Ray. And I enjoyed every minute of it because I've been copiously taking notes on all the good information already. So thank you. It's great talking with you again. And on a whim, I recently picked up a bag of pearled barley. I don't know why. I also trust myself when weird things like that happen. So give me those, if you would. Educate me on the benefits of barley. I know you can put it in soups and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Why did I grab it?
Well, that part I can't answer, but I can say that barley, high in fiber, high in complex carbohydrates. We are familiar with, mushroom barley soup. It really is hearty. You can make it as if you were making rice and use it as a side dish or in any way that you would use rice. Just look online for a recipe because it's not one that I make very often, so I'm not clear on the cooking times. It's also really helpful to soak it. So you want to rinse it, and then anytime we're if we can think ahead and plan on it, it's great to soak your grains for, you know, an hour to overnight.
But they get soggy then,
No, because they still need to really cook for quite a long time. Won't get soggy.
Right.
Oh, that's cool. Thanks.
Sure.
Right, Joan, you're the best. anything else before I let you? I mean, you've been waiting 45 minutes. You got anything else?
Oh, no. It was really pleasurable. I also had mentioned that I do, like, leftover cooking. I mean, you look in the fridge, and it's like, that might go with that.
Oh, that's great. Your own chopped challenge.
And that's, you were thinking of, like, one-pot meals.
Yes.
I know a lot of what goes with what, but I don't know, make them more exciting, maybe?
Make them more exciting in terms of flavor? Are you...
Flavor.
Okay.
Yeah, the flavor profile.
Yeah. So I really love to encourage people to experiment with herbs and spices that you might not normally use. And then whenever I'm making a one pot or one pan meal, we want to have clarity about each of the ingredients and what the cook time is for them. So in the example I gave earlier where we have, let's say, chicken or tofu and either rice or cauliflower and then some veggies, each one of those elements has a different cook time. And so whenever I'm creating a recipe, I'll start with the thing that takes the longest. So let's say we are using rice in there. We would start with some rice, and then you also want to have an idea of how much liquid to that rice. So if we're using, you know, 1 cup of rice, we always want to have 2 cups of liquid, 2 to 1. Barley might be the same, but it's good to check that. And then you layer in the other ingredients, and then really use herbs and spices and pinches of salt in between each layer.
Ah.
And so for the things that take the longest, so for example, let's say in that we're adding some broccoli to that meal, then, you know, broccoli could cook very quickly in like 6 minutes. And so you don't want to put the broccoli in at the same time as the rice because it'll just be total mush. And so there's an art to creating a one pot meal that actually where all the flavors and textures still work.
Joan, we're going to let you go here, but thank you for the call. Now another person who's been waiting for a long time, Jim and Adams. Jim, go ahead.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, Ray.
Hello.
Hey, Amy.
This is Holly.
I'm sorry, Holly.
Sally. Whatever. Just go ahead.
My hearing isn't that great.
That's all right, buddy.
That's okay.
Especially on the phone.
It's all good.
Just a couple things I'd like to mention on some things on bad nutrition and some things on good. A woman I read, a very prolific author on food, nutrition, and cooking and things, Adele Davis from Canada.
Yep.
Years and years ago. And she, one of her things she talked about was people don't realize, but bleached flour is actually that. Flour that has been run through actual chlorine bleach solution.
Yep.
Okay.
So we want to avoid all that white flour and sugar we can.
All right. Fair enough.
Deep fat frying, because they heat that oil so many times constantly over and over again, day after day, such high temperatures, it turns it into a very cancer-causing carcinogen substance.
Absolutely heating the true.
Frying oil. So you know, if you cook something in, let's say, a wok, stir fry in a wok, and you just use the oil one time and you consume it with the food, you can have fried food, but you just have to use a little common sense. Seedless things are missing nutrition.
Is that true? Are seedless things missing?
Some of the genes in the plant won't produce a seed.
All right.
You're missing some nutrition in those.
Okay.
And another great book was Diet for a Small Planet.
Oh, yeah.
You like that one?
Frances Moore LePay, I think her name was, with the authors. And talking about combining different foods to get complete proteins from, like, beans and grains. And you don't have to eat them in the same meal because your body has an amino acid pool in the bloodstream.
Ah.
Protein is such a vital substance, our body holds on to it for a few days until we consume some more, and then, we'll lose some and we'll recycle the one we just newly took in.
Well, Jim,
another great book was...
All right, go ahead. One more book, and then we're going to move on, but go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead, buddy.
The other book was... Fit for Life by Harvey and Marilyn Diamond. They were a married couple of times they wrote the book.
Ah.
It's about the proper combining of foods in your digestive system so you're working with your body, not fighting your body. You're not mixing a lot of very starchy plant foods with high animal proteins in the same meal. You can have them in different meals during the day.
Well, terrific, Jim. Thanks a lot for the call. Let's go to Pine Plains and Kenneth. You're on.
Hi there. How you doing?
Oh, wonderful.
Good to see you guys.
Yeah, hi.
Okay, so there's been a lot of discussions about bone broths and gelatins, and I'm on a plant-based diet.
Yep.
And I just wanted to know if Holly had any recommendations. I know you talked about miso. I use miso. I use some of that Better Than Bouillon, which have plant-based versions of vegetable and beef stock. But I was just wondering if you have any suggestions for a plant-based stock that's easy to use.
Great. I'm so glad you asked that. So the same way that I talked about saving all the bits and pieces. So if you're doing, if you're plant-based, I imagine you're doing a fair amount of cooking in your kitchen. So saving your bits and pieces, the ends of carrots, onions, celery, stems, just like I mentioned, and then mushrooms. Mushrooms add tremendous flavor. All kinds of mushrooms, maybe except for the white ones, but you like all like shiitake and porcini and maitake. All of those mushrooms are medicinal and add wonderful flavor. I would so encourage you to use that rather than the brand that you mentioned. I want you to read the ingredients on that one, because there's some, you know, hydrolyzed yeast extract and things that like aren't so great. And so especially when someone's choosing to eat in a fully plant-based way, I imagine there's health reasons as well as other reasons. And so bring those mushrooms in, because they really add so much body and so much flavor. And when you're using your own stock, when you're making beans, when you're cooking grains, when you're cooking veggies, it's great.
Okay. Kenneth, thanks a lot for the call. Susan writes in. Remember we were talking about butternut squash, and you were saying how just difficult and murderous it is to work with it.
Yeah.
Susan writes, you can put a butternut squash in the microwave.
Poke holes in
it all over. Microwave for 15 minutes or so. Softens up the squash. Easy to cut and use for soup.
Yep.
True?
Although I don't have a microwave. And
you do not have a microwave.
I don't. I personally don't use them, but I know everyone else does.
You have an Instant Pot?
I do.
What's
totally
the difference?
Different. Oh, entirely different.
No, I know they work differently, but they're both electric devices.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with electricity. I don't like the quick cooking in that microwave kind of way.
Nah.
I don't even have strong feelings either way. It's just never been in the kitchens.
I don't
that
use
I've
it that
in.
Much myself, but it does. Yeah. It does do
it helps
some things
with heating,
well
with heating things up. So, yeah. Listen, any way that we can cook more of our own food, the better. And I feel like a lot of the workshops that I'm teaching are really showing like shortcuts and quick ways to do it. Thanks for sharing that tip with the butternut squash.
Okay. Listen, Holly Shelowitz, we're about done here. No, we are. We only have 20 seconds.
All right. Go to my website, you guys.
Oh, that was
if
it.
If you want to know about the book, when you sign up for my newsletter, you'll get some recipes, and then you'll be the first to know once this book is ready.
And what's the website again?
It's nourishingwisdom.com.
All right, Holly Shelowitz, we are done with the show. You've done very, very well, as
Thank
always.
You, Ray.
And we will see you in 2026.
Fantastic.
Yeah? Support comes from Honest Weight Food Co-op, 100 Waterfleet Avenue, Albany, a grocery for all, offering gluten-free, vegan, and organic options. Open daily from 8 a.m. till 9 p.m., honestweight.com. And Chef Rick Orlando, hosting culture on food tours of Italy and offering a selection of cooking ingredients for home kitchens. RICOrlando.com for more information. All right, that's it. Thanks again to Holly Shelowitz for being here today. A great butternut squash soup. Thank you for listening. Thanks for the calls and the emails. Sorry if we didn't get to yours, but Holly will be back again next year. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Well done. Thanks to Barb King, who screened the calls. I'm Ray Graff. I hope you have the most magnificent weekend. Mind-bendingly wonderful weekend. And if we're all alive, I'll see you Monday at 2:00.